We just want to thank you guys, and I thank God for my father. I appreciate my dad for being the man that he was to stand up and serve God when it wasn't that popular to do so, especially the way he grew up. When you grow up and you live on the bayou, sometimes you got to be tough guy. And I'm glad that my father decided that he was going to serve God, and because of it is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today. It's because of that. So that's an honor of mine, and I do appreciate that. Let me tell you, God is good to us. He loves us, cares about us, wants the absolute best for us. So we do appreciate the opportunity we get every day to get up and serve the Lord. We want to continue this morning in the text that we've been looking at. We've been dealing with kingdom seeds, and we're going to continue in that. I believe that there's a great value to the text that we've been looking at, and I think that God wants us to grab hold to these principles and receive them and understand them. It's one thing about the Word of God. You can have read it, and you could have had someone read it to you or listen to it, but you have to receive the Word. The Word has to become real to you. It has to be life to you. You have to believe what it actually says and then live according to what that Word says. That's important. So you can, in essence, you can be in and around church all of your life and never receive the Word. You can be in and around church all of your life and never be born again. And that's, to me, that's a scary thought, that you can be so close to it but not have it. My job today and my goal today is to share with you the importance of being born again, of having the seed of the kingdom inside of you. And that's something that you can't show people that. You can look, listen, people actually believe that they can look like a Christian. Well, you might be able to pull that off with me or somebody else, but you can't pull that off with God. You know, when you stand before God and you tell God, say, I look like a Christian, he's going to say, what does that mean? I'm not looking for the ones look like one. I'm looking for the ones who have the seed of the kingdom planted in their hearts. And that's what we've been talking about in this series, the kingdom seed. And so this is important. I'm going to show you later on in this how important it is to have the seed planted in you. And there's many ways that we have looked, that was shown how the seed was cast on many different places. He said some seed fell by the wayside. Some fell among the stones, on stony places. Some fell on among the thorns. And then some fell on good ground. But nonetheless, the job of the saints, the believers, is to spread the seed. That's our job. We're to sow seed. We have received it. He said, freely I give you. We have received it, and we ought to be willing to distribute that out to those that we love and care about, especially to our family. But more than that, to go beyond those boundaries and to the people that we work with, and our neighbors and all that. We should be spreading the seed of the kingdom. It's very important. One of the saddest things that I find in the church world today is you hear very little pertaining to the kingdom. Very little. Not near enough is spoken of when it comes to the kingdom of God. Yet, that Bible, and when you look at it as a whole book, it's telling us that that's exactly what's going to be the ultimate, when the finale. Anybody ever watch any of the TV shows and they have a finale? What does the finale mean? Are they going to have another show after that? No. If they're having a finale, there's no other show. That's it. The finale means that's it. Well, let me tell you, there's a finale in here. There's not another show. When that thing happens, you want to make sure that the seed of the kingdom is planted in your heart. Because if it's not, you will not be in the finale. Does everybody get to go to the finale? No, only the ones invited. Only the ones invited. There's special guests that go to the finale. I want to be in the finale. I read this book over and over, and let me tell you, it talks about a finale. And the finale goes something like this. It says, and God himself, God himself will descend from heaven. Is that amazing? Just talking about it gets me excited. The finale is something with God himself shall descend from heaven. There'll be a new city, a holy city, a new Jerusalem, a new planet, and God himself shall descend. And then the Son, Jesus Christ, it's going to be one of the most amazing Father's Days you ever been attended in your life. Because the Son is going to hand over the kingdom to the Father. I wonder if Jesus is going to say, Happy Father's Day. I'm pretty sure something like that's on his mind. And so I'm talking about a finale that's amazing. So that's how it's going to end. This thing's going to end with an amazing finale in God himself. Now, if you've not been in any of our teachings talking about who God is, it's going to be somewhat difficult for you to wrap your mind around that statement I just made. When there was absolutely nothing, nothing, there was nothingness, God was. Before there was a you and a me. Before there were trees and birds and animals and oceans and stars and moon and sun, universe, before all of that was, God was. And that's the one I'm talking about. He will descend and take his position on this great planet that he made. It's his. Does God want it in its condition? No. He doesn't want it in its condition. The condition of this planet, God doesn't want it. Some folks living on the planet don't want it. Some folks are just tired of living because the stuff just weighs you down. But I want to tell you, don't quit, don't get tired of living, don't quit. Because I know somebody who's fixing it. I know somebody who's working very hard and diligent at fixing it. And his name is Jesus. You ever heard that song? Let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. When I think about him fixing it, I'm reminded of that song. He's fixing it right now. And so the way he started fixing it is Jesus born to the virgin. Jesus started. Everybody say started. How many knows what a start means? If it starts at a point, was there something before that start? No, it started. He started as a seed. He started as a seed. Mary was a carrier, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The thing that's going to happen in you will be by the Holy Spirit. And God caused life in her. The seed became alive. Nobody wants to see Jesus as a seed, but that's how he started. Let me tell you, kingdom seeds are very important, very valuable. He started as a seed, just like every person in here. You can relate to him. Every person in here, you started as a seed. And outside of your father, whether you like him or not, you started as a seed through him. Through him, you started as a seed. Every person in here, we can relate to Jesus. Jesus started as a seed. Outside of God sowing that seed in Mary, we have no existence of the Son. I don't exist unless my Father was able to sow a seed in my mother. When he sowed the seed, then I came into existence. I didn't exist before that. It starts with a seed. Is anybody getting this? Because a lot of times what happens is we fail to recognize what God the Almighty has done to redeem man back to him. He's redeeming us. We've been bought with the price. We've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. So he's got his son now, born, growing up. At the age of 12, he's teaching in the synagogues. The people that are sitting with him are amazed at the understanding he's got. Well, how did he know anything about God and all that? How did Jesus know? Some folks will say, well, he always knew. No, how did he know? He was taught. His mama sat down with him, and his daddy sat down with him. And his daddy was Joseph, who took on the role as his earthly father. They taught him well, so well that the people said, wow. And let me tell you what he did. He yielded to all that teaching. You ever had, how many parents in here, you teach your children and you teach them, and Charlotte was making reference to it, exhorting us. You teach them, but not all the time do they pay attention to what you're teaching. But Jesus did. He listened well. And then from 12... for a long period of time, the only thing we have about the life of Jesus from 12 to the time he came on the scene at 30 and started ministering is he grew in strength and wisdom. He grew in strength and wisdom. So there's a lot of stuff went on that we don't know about. We don't have recorded in the Bible. That's a big space of time. But when he came on the scene, things began to happen. They could see he walked in authority and power. What was he doing? He was fixing it for you and I. He was fixing it. So when temptation came, immediately when Jesus was tempted, temptation came, and what did he denied himself pleasure for a little while to please the Father. He'd rather please God than to have pleasure for a moment, just for a moment. Every time Satan attacked him or tempted him, he denied himself pleasure. Why did he do that? He was fixing it for us. He was fixing it. So he was called into the ministry. He had to be at a certain place at a certain time on a certain day to meet a certain man named John. He gets to that place and John's there baptizing people in the Jordan River. And Jesus walks up and says, I need to be baptized. He had an appointment on that day. What was he doing that day? He was fixing it for us. He's baptized on that day. The heavens open up and a voice from the clouds comes roaring through saying, this is my beloved son. This is with the voice. Who was the voice speaking? It was the Father who seated that boy. He said, this, and he let us know that. We know that. He said, this is my son. What was he doing when he called him his son? He was fixing it for us. Anybody got that tune in yet? Let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. He leaves from that place and he starts calling disciples. He says, follow me. He gets a bunch of fishermen together and says, hey guys, follow me. What do? The Bible says immediately they left their nets and their boat and they followed Jesus. What was he doing? Fixing it for us. He picked up guys along the way, a physician and a tax collector. He's got all this 12 together. And he begins to teach them in Matthew 5. He says, bless it, bless it. He starts preaching on the Beatitudes. What was he doing? He was fixing it. He was fixing it for you and I. Immediately after that, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And every time the devil tempted Jesus, he said, it is written. Notice, it wasn't Big Daddy in the sky. Come help me, Big Daddy. No, he never did that. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? We want Big, like Charlotte referenced, we want Big Daddy to show up and come get us out of trouble. Jesus never said that. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What was he doing when he said that? He was fixing it for us. Imagine if that day he failed. This day would cease to exist. But he fixed it for us. Satan says, listen, I'll give you all the kingdoms if you'll just bow down and worship me. And he said, I'll not do it. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only. And him only shall you serve. What was he doing? He was fixing it. What an example we have. It's not just, listen, I don't know where we get these little stories about Jesus, but I want to tell you, he's a real man who was faced with real issues every day. And he could have failed. He could have. But instead of failing, he fixed it. He could have failed. He could have just made the stones bread. He could have just bowed down and took the kingdoms. He could have done all those things, but he didn't. Why? Because he's fixing it. Not going to do it. He gets his disciples. And he says, come with me. The hour's come. The hour's come. He said, I want you to go to a place. And there's going to be a certain man there. You tell him we need to use his place for the supper. Now use the place. And while he's there, he takes the bread. And he break it and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he gave thanks. And in that room, with those 12 men, while he's given his life for them, one of those men is going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. He should have kicked the table over, run over there and snatched up Judas and beat the snot out of him. That's sort of how we do today. But Jesus didn't do that. Why? Because he was fixing it for us. He knew he was going to sell him. Some of you have been sold. Some of you have been lied about. Some of you have been all sorts of things done wrong to you. You can't listen. You got to let it all go. You can't fight that battle. Let him fix it for you. Had another guy in there named Peter. He was a tough guy. He was a number one ace fisherman. He was a rough, he run with the rough crowd. Peter said, I'll die for you. You know, he was ready to roll them up. I mean, at the drop of a hat, he was rolling them up. Let's get it. He was a fighter. And Jesus is giving thanks. He said, this is the blood of the New Testament. And the whole time he knows all of that. He knows that Peter is going to deny him three times before morning. Knows it. Think about it. Did he get mad and quit and say, God, that you can have this is the most sorriest bunch. You can have them. No. He said, that's okay. I'm betrayed. I'm denied that they ever knew me. Peter said this, I never knew the man. Three times he said, I never knew him. How hurtful that must have been to Jesus. Did Jesus quit? Did he fight back? Did he get mad at Peter? No, he fixed it. He's fixing it. He said, come on, boys, come with me. So he takes just a few of them, and he goes to the garden, and he starts praying. By now, it's heavy on him. It's as heavy as it's been on him since his earthly ministry. There it is. See, there he is. It's heavy on him, heavy, heavy. And he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying so hard, he's sweating blood. I would think that's some agony. I've never sweated blood. I've been hot. I felt ill. I felt like I was going to pass out from working and eat, but I ain't never sweated blood. He's in agony. And he asked the disciples, just pray with me for 1 hour. 1 hour. You'd think, you know what? The disciples would have said, that's no big deal. Listen, when we needed food, you fed us. You took a boy's meal and you fed 5,000 people. When Peter's mother-in-law was sick with the fever, he laid his hand on and she was healed. They saw miracle after miracle. He fed them. Every time they needed something, he was there. He said, 1 hour. You would think. That's no problem at all. You giving your life for us, we can give you 1 hour. He goes back and they're all sleeping. What does Jesus do? He goes back and prays. Why does he go back and pray the second time? He's fixing it. I wonder if in his second time praying, he's like, Father, they're sleeping. Help them. Help them. There's going to be a time I'm not going to be here to wake them. There's going to be a time I'm not going to be there to shake them. I'm asking you to help them. He comes back the second time. What are they doing the second time? Sleeping again. So he goes back and he prays the third time. What is he doing? Fixing it. You think God's hard of hearing? No, God ain't hard of hearing. He didn't go pray three times because God couldn't hear him the first time. He was going back and he was fixing it every time. He was fixing it every time. Every time he went back, he was fixing more of it. And when he came back the third time, you know what Jesus said? Sleep on. The hour's come. And that moment, the soldiers came and took Jesus. While they were taking Jesus, Judas came and kissed him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter, the rowdy one, he stands up, grabs a sword. This is it. I'm standing for you. None of it materialized when it all came down to it. It was all a show. He was hanging around with a bunch of show-offs. Wishy-washy, couldn't make their mind up if they wanted to be with Jesus or not. He was hanging around with those guys. What was he doing the whole time? Fixing it. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of us. Sometimes we can't make our mind up what we want to do. Sometimes we're for him, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're pumped up, sometimes we're down. We can't make our mind up. What is Jesus doing? Fixing it. They took him, beat him. Beat him bad. Marched him around in front of everyone. They mocked him. The soldiers ripped his clothes off. Jesus is naked. No clothes on. I don't care what Hollywood shows you. I don't care what the people picture showing you. is wrong. This book says he was naked. I'm going with this. I'm not going to paint a pretty picture when it ain't pretty. He was naked, humiliated. Think about that. On display for everybody to see. What was he doing when he's buck naked, beat to half to death? He's fixing it. The Bible says at any moment he could have said, Father, and God would have snatched him off this planet. And he knew he could call out on God. He knew it. He'd get real close, but he said, I won't do it because I'm fixing it. I'm going to go through it because the end, the finale is worth it. I got a picture of the finale. I got to peek in, and everybody's saying, well, I wish I could peek into the finale. Listen, it's right here. All you got to do is open this up. You can peek into the finale. It's worth it. You ain't never been through anything in your life that you want to sell out on how incredible the finale is. And folks are sitting service time and time again and just still wondering about what is it? What is it? You can go to church all your entire life and nobody's teaching on the amazing, wonderful kingdom of God that's coming, and God himself will descend and he said there'll be no need for the sun. Think about that. Listen, when God steps in, the sun kind of just goes out. You ever lit a match? Anybody's ever lit a match? Anybody, you ever lit a match? And you light a match and not all the time do they burn, get the wood going. They'll just go out and you have to light another one. That's what the sun's going to do when God steps in. The sun's going to go. Just to kind of give you a little understanding about God. The sun, that's like a little match. And it's going to go. When God walks in, there'll be no need for that because he's going to be the light for everything. Talking about Almighty God, the Creator. Outside of him, nothing exists. He's first cause. It's him. Proverbs, so incredible. You want to know some things about God? When wisdom says, I was there. I was there when he stretched out the heavens. How incredible is that? You can get a glimpse. You read Proverbs, you'll get a real, it'll put you, just paint you a picture. When I get to that section, it's like a picture just goes off in my head thinking about the amazingness of Almighty God. So Jesus, there he is on the cross. He's naked. Everybody understands what naked is, I hope. That ain't half naked. He ain't got the little loincloth on that they got him in all these pictures. That's all fake and false, and it's just ruining people. Everybody wants to make Jesus, give some image to him that they're okay with. The image I got of him is I ought to turn my head every time because it's embarrassing to know. But I'm going to look at the Son of God naked and beaten. Do you understand that? And what is he saying? What is he saying when he's hanging there? He says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. What was he doing? He was fixing it for us. He was fixing it for you and I. Then he said to the Father, unto you, I commit my spirit. Nobody else is getting this. I've been hanging on to this for a while now. Devil tried to get it. My friends tried to get it. People tried to do me wrong. But one thing's for certain. Jesus was sold out to one. And that was God. And when God received Jesus as the final payment, God's attitude changed toward the world. And it should have. It should. I don't think I should get a free pass. I don't think I, you know, just because I grew up in church, I don't get a free pass. Just because my name is Jesse, I don't get a free pass. Just because I've been preaching for nearly 30 years, I don't get a free pass. That means nothing to God. I don't get a free pass. I must wake up every day. And I must choose this day who I'm going to serve. And what does that attitude show? That I'm trying my best to follow the pattern that Jesus left when he was fixing it for me. Anybody want to be an active participant in this? Get up every day and say, what are you doing? Why you want to go to church? Why you want to serve God? Why you want to worship? Why you want to read your Bible? Because we're fixing it. It was wrong. It was undone. It was broken. It was tattered. It was stained. And that's what happened to mankind. Mankind was stained by sin. All of us. But Jesus came. The Bible says he knew no sin. Is that an incredible statement about somebody? He knew no sin, but became sin. The last thing he did before he said, it is finished, he said, I'll take it, Father. And at that moment, God dumped it all on him. Every bit of it. All the iniquity, all the transgression, and all the sin was dumped on Jesus. All the sickness. Anybody ever been sick? You ever felt nauseated and sick and hurting from the flu? It was all dumped on him. I can't even imagine the pain he was in. I talked to people who suffered and went through cancer treatment and all that stuff. He bore it all. Do you get this? Everything you ever been through as a person, compile that to all the people in the world. Jesus bore it all. Every bit of it he took. Why? Because he was fixing it. He was fixing it for us. I hope you can tell by now I'm not on the text yet. I'm trying to help somebody make it to the kingdom. I'm trying to get you to understand that you can make it in the kingdom of God. Outside of the seed of the gospel of the kingdom, which that's the only thing Jesus preached. He didn't preach anything else. You'll not find that Jesus preached anything other than the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's coming. The kingdom's coming. That's what he preached. Unless that seed's in you, you will not. I will not make it into the kingdom of God. You won't make it to the finale. You die, you're dead, and the next time your eyes open, you'll stand before an angry God. Not a loving God. Do you understand that? You'll stand before an angry God. You die, and every person who's died and whoever's going to die, the next time your eyes open, and they will because he's going to wake you up, you'll look at God and he'll be angry. But if you'll let Jesus fix it for you, if you'll humble yourself as a child and just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I messed up. I made mistakes. Wasn't nobody else's fault. I did those things, but I ask you to forgive me of my mistakes and show me and teach me how to walk out this kingdom life. I want to walk it out every day. If you die, and we've known some who's died, who's been in the faith, when they wake up, because they're going to wake up, who's going to wake them up? Jesus, the fixer. The fixer. The last thing he's going to fix for the believer is when he wakes you up in the resurrection. I don't care what has happened, and he says, you're with me now. Face-to-face encounter with Jesus. He's going to put his arms around you, And love, you don't even have a clue what kind of love you're going to feel. The love that Jesus, listen, it's like, do you understand? Brothers and sisters in Christ is real. It's real. He said to the Jew first. Jesus was a Jew. And it was first to the Jews. But how amazing God is. Because Jesus did what he did. He said, I'm not only come for the Jews only, but that all people. So what did God do? He grafted in what's not the real olive tree, but it was grafted in. How incredible is that? It makes me more excited. I'm more excited because God did that for me when he didn't have to. So I'm going to tell you, Jesus fixed it. You can't fix it for yourself. You'll never fix it. People tell me all the time, you know, I'm trying to get my life right and I'm going to start coming to church. That'll never happen. You're wasting your time. If you're even thinking those thoughts, let me go ahead and settle that for you right now. You'll never do it. We need a Savior. We need one. That's why one was given to us. A Savior was given to us. Because we need one. We can't do it on our own. Man cannot fix it on their own. So what God did, he gave, watch this, his only begotten Son gave him for us. And so we have to have the seed of the kingdom planted in us for it to work. How many want the seed of the kingdom in you? I'm going to tell you how to get the seed of the kingdom in you. Somebody got to sow the seed. That's how you get it. Somebody's got to sow the seed. It ain't something that you got to do. It ain't a ritual. It ain't getting out your seed coming down to the altar. It ain't saying a prayer after I say a prayer. That's all rituals. How do you get the seed in your life? Somebody's got to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said, that's what you do. You preach the gospel of the kingdom. You cast the seed. You're spreading the seed. Now, I can't determine whether the seed today, and by the way, I'm preaching the gospel. I've been preaching the gospel since I started. Been telling you the wonderful, incredible good news about the kingdom of God. But one thing I can't determine, I can't tell whether it fell on good ground. I can't tell if it fell by the wayside. I can't tell if it fell among the thorns or on stony places. I can't tell that. But something's going to be able to tell that. Time will tell. What are you going to do? Where will you be next Sunday? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be wide open? You can't wait to serve God. You can get up every day and just give God the glory and praise. And your life changes. The Bible says, he that is born of God does not practice sin. You don't do that anymore. So if you're still practicing sin, you're not born again. People say, well, you can't tell me if I'm not born again. I absolutely can. Absolutely can. Listen, if I plant an orange tree, and I go out there and you tell me, say, listen, that's not an orange tree, that's a banana tree. Really? You know, that would be crazy. So the orange tree said, I'm a banana tree. No, you ain't a banana tree. I'm telling you, I am. No. All right. Grow me some bananas then. What's going to be tough for the orange tree to grow me some bananas? You know why? It's an orange tree. You can't grow bananas. So what tells is the fruit. Who you are is told by the fruit. A man is who he is when he's alone. That's the real you. Ain't no faking, no pulling off on nobody. When you're by yourself, just you and God, that's the real you. I say this all the time. You can go to Men's Warehouse and get one like this. You can come up here and I'm sure you'll look like a preacher. This don't make me anything. The fact that I'm talking don't make me anything. It's all about the fruit. What does my life say day in and day out? What's my heart attitude? What is it? What is it? What is it? What's the consistency that you see? Is it there? And if it's not, then we have to work on it. Are we all there? Absolutely not. We're not all there. But we're working on it every day. But you're going to be able to tell. It's going to start in a process. And so these are important principles. Amen? How many thank God for his word? Let's see if I could just do a little bit of it. Let's go to the first one. 1 Peter 1:23. I have some slides here. We'll look at it. That could be one of the longest introductions I ever gave. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. How are you born again? Not of seed which is perishable. I mean, you know, there's seeds that are trying, other seeds that are trying to be planted in people's lives. But those seeds are perishable. But you're born again, not with perishable seeds, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. The word of God is here to stay. It's imperishable. And these are very important principles that we have to take note of. Valuable that we see these. The word of God is here to stay. It is imperishable. It's not going anywhere. Everything else is going to fade away. He says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain. How incredible is that? Anybody want to stick with the word? And that's the seed. That's the seed of the kingdom. Remember that. The word of the kingdom is the seed that is imperishable, that will regenerate you. Regenerate you. I want to at least get on this particular point here. I believe it'll help us. To regenerate something means it's already been generated at some point. I was generated. Let me give you an example. When I was born, I was generated. I didn't exist until I was born. And now I'm born, so I'm generated. But I was born into sin. Not only was I born into sin, I sinned. Willfully. Nobody even forced me. I just did it on my own. But when I was born again, I was regenerated. Can I get regenerated without a seed? No, it took a seed. It took one seed to generate me. Let me understand this. It took one seed from my father. It took one seed to generate me. From my heavenly father, it's going to take a seed to regenerate me. You can't get born again without the seed. I don't care what prayer you prayed. I don't care if you jump through the hoop backwards. You're not born again without the seed. It doesn't matter. I don't care what your church said, your preacher said. You're not born again without the seed. You got to be regenerated. How many think the seed's important now? You better believe the seed's important. Without the seed, you don't make it to the finale. You're not invited. Woo! Born again means to regenerate. I like this next part. It means to father anew. To father anew. To bring into existence again. To bring into existence again. Hence the term, the old man dies. The old ways die. Behold, all things become new. So the old dies. You know, it's sad to me. I can't understand. How do we even think we can live the way we want to live and attend church and yet think we're born again or something like that? That'll never happen. You can't live in the old nature and come to church and think you're born again. I don't know who told you that, but I'm here to tell you it's not so. It'll never happen in God's view. Let me tell you, if I said that on Facebook, I'd have about 500 people say, you're judging me. That's what they know that verse. That's the only one they know, but they know it. They'll put it in there. He's judging me. The only one verse they know. My, I ought to tell them, read the rest. It's pretty good. No, I'm not judging anybody. I'm preaching the gospel. This is what the gospel says. Do you understand? And most of the time, people, when they quote that, don't have no idea what it is. They hadn't read a verse above it or a verse beneath it in their life. But they know that one. I don't know where that come from, but I figured I'd throw it in there. God's act of bringing into existence a new person, which the change is for the better. So to regenerate is God's act of bringing in a person, a new person, into existence. And the change is for the better. Let's get an example. Who made Adam? Boy, I was so glad I got an answer over here. Whew, I thought I was going to have to start over. God made Adam. Amen? God did. God created him. Adam died. And so God regenerated the human race. How did he regenerate the human race? Through his son. How did it start? With a seed. It started with a seed. And so he regenerates the human race. Brand new. He said, that one failed. We're going to start again. Remember he told early on in Genesis, he said, through the seed of woman. Satan, you're in trouble. You ain't figured out. You think you won. I know you beat my man in the garden, but you think you won. You have no idea who I am. I'm God. The seed's going to fix this. The seed. And so God always keeps his seed right. Always. God's act of bringing into existence a new person, which the change is for the better. So how am I going to be changed? Because I'm still the same guy. You remember that. I'm still the same guy when I was born from a little boy and all the stuff I got into. And then I come into serving God. I'm still the same person, but I've been regenerated. And you got to live that out every day. You can't live the way you used to live. There's no way. No way that can happen. There's got to be a change for the better. In John 3... let's go through this. I'll read a few verses to you. John chapter 3, we'll read just a few of them. Now there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many see that? What's the condition? You got to be born again or you can't see the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. I want you to get this. If you're a believer, when you wake up, you're going to see Jesus face to face. Nothing between, no veil. For now we see through a glass darkly, but one day, face to face. What an incredible encounter that's going to be. If you're not born again, you're going to meet the wrath of God. You don't even get to see the kingdom. You don't get to see the kingdom. You meet the wrath of God. Which the Revelation talks about that in the bowl judgments there. There's seven of them. There's going to be some people alive not born again when Christ comes back. So they're not going to be dead. They're going to be alive. Still living their life, you know, thinking, you know what, everything's cool. I'm going to do it my way. Boom! Christ comes back. Are they going to get to see the kingdom? Absolutely not. Over. Finished. Done. How'd you like to have that on your mind for 3.5 years? Are y'all here? This is real stuff. It's all in the Bible. It's real stuff. We don't have near enough preaching about it. We only want to pick something fancy. You know, I come here this morning and pick some fancy story about somebody somewhere who was a good father, and I talk about him all service, and then I try to pump all my dads up. Listen, I'm pumping you up right now, men. Let's serve God. Get regenerated. Get up and show your kids. So this is what you got to do. We're talking about making the finale here. Amen? So this is what he said. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, watch this. This is understanding. This is a ruler. This is a well-educated man. In his time, he is top education. He says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Think about that. He cannot enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born, can he? Huh? Can he? So think about it. How can a man be born when he's old? So he's an aged man. He's a mature adult. And he's asking a legitimate question. He's not trying to waste time here. He's wondering about this born again, because how he understands being born again is being born for the first time. And that's exactly what Jesus is pointing out. He's about to give him some revelation he has no idea about. He said, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And so Jesus unfolds these principles for him so he can grab hold. Jesus answers, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Number one, a Christian has experienced being born twice. A Christian, if you're a Christian, you know, if I say, who's a Christian? You know, you get a bunch of people raise their hand. But then if I say, who was born twice? And nobody lifts their hand, we got issues there. A Christian has been born twice. First seed, then the second seed. And you got to understand that happened to you to be born again. You got to understand that. And let me tell you, God has been merciful to a lot of us when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God. Even the very little that we knew, he's helped magnify that so we can have an understanding. But more so than that, he's trying to let us know. Now, he's revealing that to us even in a deeper way. How many has got the seed of the kingdom inside your heart? If you don't have it, you can't have it. And I can't insert you with the seed. You can't. I don't have a bucket of seeds. You come get one and you swallow and you got the seed. No, you got to believe what the Word says in your own heart. You got to do that. I can't even prepare the ground. I can't sing four songs, prepare the ground, get you right and ready for it. It is, the ground is what it is. When you got here, it was what it was. The seed is sown. I can tell you, if you receive the seed, you absolutely can have that seed planted in you, and it'll begin to germinate and do its job. Your first is through your father, seed. Your second is through God's seed. I mean, thank God for that. If God's seed does germinate in the soil of your heart, you cannot, if God's seed does not, it should be, does not germinate in the soil of your heart, you cannot be born again. Period. Look at 1 John 3:9. You cannot be born again. If the seed doesn't germinate, let's not kid ourselves, we're not born again. You can be. If you're here today and you want to be, you're in the right place. This is the reason the gospel is being preached today. God worked out every detail in your life up to this point to orchestrate and work it out right now so everything would be said the way it was. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices sin. That's a good indicator. If you're practicing sin, you got some born-again issues. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. Whose seed? God's seed. God's seed abides in you. Will you practice sin? So you can tell. Some people say, I say, you're born again? I don't know. You can tell. I can tell. But the moment if I tell you, if I say, well, you don't, you know, what you're doing doesn't indicate you're born again. Oh, there you go. There he goes. You know what's so funny about today? I'm up here and I can actually say what most people just think. Listen, the seed's got to be in you. If it is, things change in your life. He says, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. So what does it mean to practice sin? It means that that's kind of your aim. You get up in the morning, you kind of, you set the bar, that I'm going to do this much wrong today. Right? You know it. You know it going in, you know it coming out, and you can't wait till the next day to start it over. That's practicing sin. Now this ain't practicing sin. You're doing everything you can to do right. And you just, that day, you slip. That's not practicing sin. The Bible says in that case, if you sin. Not practicing. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. How incredible is that? Here's where the devil beats people, though. Because they don't know the scripture that way. They're not studying the word of God. When you're born again, you're studying the things of God. You need to know that. Because in the moment you do slip, he's going to say, see, you never was born again. You're pitiful. Why don't you just quit? Don't ever go back. You're never going to make it, ever. You might as well live it up now. Have the best time of your life because it's over for you. Don't believe that. That's not true. Amen. Don't believe the lie. Look, the devil, every time he opens his mouth, a lie files out. Do you understand that? He's a liar. The Bible says he's been a liar from the beginning. You got to believe the word of God, the truth of God, with Jesus, the things Jesus spoke. You ought to get in your Bible, start reading everything Jesus said. Everything Jesus said, you read it over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you, there's victory, and you can serve God. Number two, a Christian does not practice sin. You see that? Does not practice sin. A person is born again by the seed of the kingdom. That's how a person is born again, by the seed of the kingdom, but this is the word of God. If you are not born again, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. You won't be able to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been reserved for those who have been born again, a second time into the newness of life through Christ Jesus. You're born a second time. And we're born into the newness of life through Christ Jesus. How many want that for your life? I want it. We're going to pick our spot right here to stop, and I'll take up here next Sunday. So it's a good spot to stop. Let me just do something that maybe this may be an unusual way, a different way, but let's talk about it just for a minute. And then let you know, we always give people opportunity. Make decisions. You ever wonder what God decided for you? Anybody ever wonder what God decided for you? What's the life he wants for you? He said, I would that none perish, but all men come to know me. That's what God wants. He don't want anybody to perish. So if you're going to perish, it'll be you picking it. That's your choice. You're going to have to adamantly go against what God desires, his will for your life, his purpose for your life. Here's the way I see it. If God wanted you to fail, what in the world are you doing here? What you doing here? If God wanted you to fail, I'm sure he's smart enough. He could have caused a lot of roadblocks in your life to divert you to a different place than you are right now. The way I see it, if the seed gets broadcast on you, God had a good intention. His intention was for you to come into the kingdom. So that tells me something this morning. What is God, who is the one in the kingdom? He wants you. And let's not forget, Jesus fixed it for you. He fixed it. We can't fix it for ourselves. He did. So I want to tell you something. God went through everything to work out every detail in your life to have you sitting right here, just to let you know. And how many times does he have to do that? Service after service, time after time, day after day, throw a life ring to you and say, I'm doing everything. I just wonder how many millions of people that will stand before God on the day of wrath, and God's going to show them flashbacks. I hope it's not anybody in this building that he flashbacks this service and you hear this thing, listen to that message again. Listen. God standing there. Listen to that. You hear that? That was me trying to get you out of this horrible pit, but you didn't listen. Get in that. You're going in it now. So here we are. I'm just wondering if I got anybody here. Anybody at all. We clean the slate. Anybody, I'm wondering if there's anybody here at all that you received the seed of the kingdom today in your heart and let it germinate in your heart, that it'll grow and bring forth fruit in your life. The seed of the kingdom has to be in your heart. It has to take good soil for it to germinate. And that's up to you. That's up to you. Before you and I ever made a choice in our life, you got to know, if you read any part of the Bible, God loves us. And he fixed it for us. He cared so much. He went through such intricate detail to make sure that everything stayed right. And it's going to be an amazing finale. Anybody want to go? You know you've been invited? You know that everybody in this room has been invited to the finale. Every one of you has been invited. You could go. If you want it, it's yours. If I told you I'm giving free tickets to a $1 million bank account, $1 million, free ticket, you can show this ticket and they're going to give you $1 million. I'm wondering if I get more excitement than I'm getting this morning when I talk about free tickets to the finale when God himself's going to descend. I'm wondering about that. I've seen people jump out their seat and half run over another person, trample 3 kids to get to a T-shirt. That's the truth. And I'm talking about the kingdom. And we lose our excitement, our thrill, the drive. It's got to be worth it to you. Because I can tell you, if it ain't worth it, you don't even sign up. Don't get in this. I'm telling you. Don't ever come back to church if it's worth it to you. I tell you, get in it. Because that's what's going to push you. Because if it's not worth it to you, it's going to take, you know, you're going to have to get a phone call every week. You're going to have to get 3 hugs on Sunday. You're going to have to get a smile when you're driving on the side of the road. They're going to have to like your stuff on Facebook. Or I'm going to tell you, you're going to be offended. But if it's worth it to you, you don't care if anybody, you don't care what they think. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Why? Because Jesus fixed it for me. It's worth it to me. I don't need anything else. It's worth it. If they fall in like flies around, you go on because it's worth it to you. Can you imagine we get everybody with that attitude and pop up one Sunday morning with that attitude? Man, the band's going to just be holding on, just trying to get through it. Of the power of God that'll be released in this place because it's got to be worth it. God just watches. He watches every Sunday. He says, it ain't worth it to him yet. Anybody ready to get there? You want to turn the parish upside down for Jesus? Get rid of all the corruption and all the junk that goes on? Talking about it ain't going to do it. You know, I get asked sometimes to run. And that's exactly what I do. From them. I said, are you kidding me? You think that's going to fix anything? You don't need me in there. We need God. I need to stay where I am. I need to keep preaching what I'm preaching. You don't need me. I can't fix any of that. Do you understand that? We need God is what we need. We're trying to find the right person to put in. Listen, what we need in the state of Louisiana is God. What we need in the United States of America is God. What we need around the world is God. We don't need another group with fancy signs and can march better than the other guys, scream louder than the other. We don't need all that. What we need is God. Does anybody want to be a taker on this? I want to be on that side. I want to join that team. I want you to picture this. We have 10 kids who just become some of the luckiest kids in their elementary school. All the basketball greats. Michael Jordan, LeBron, all these guys, the big guys. They got 5 big guys. And they're saying to all of our elementary kids, listen. Y'all could be on our team. Or they go find these shortest guys they can find. Not eating right. Kind of just letting things go for a while. Got their shirts coming about up to about an inch above their belly button. They're just sitting there with a basketball with headbands on. Do y'all got that picture? And they're sitting there. Or y'all could be on their team. I want to ask you, are we going to have all 10 of those elementary kids? What you think they're going to do? Just ask him. Without a doubt, this is without a doubt, those 10 kids are going to look at that bunch and go, you kidding us? You ain't got to preach for an hour for me. This is a no-brainer. There ain't no way we're going that team. They're going to go with these 5 tall, proved it, done it. They got all the trophies and rings. They're going on that side. Can I tell you, I know somebody who proved it, done it, and fixed it. I know somebody, and he's saying to this whole group, and then, but they got this one over here. He's got his shirt up to here. He's got his little pitchfork like that going. Let me tell y'all something. Come with me. We're going to take over the whole world. I'm the man. You listen to the devil. Go on. And how many? It's amazing to me. It absolutely drives me crazy sometimes how many is going over there. Yeah, right. That's it. Is that you? Because if it is, it's awful that you don't want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who did it. The one who fixed it. He beat it all. He was the seed, the first seed. And the seed of the kingdom has to be planted in my heart that it germinates. I'm so, so thankful. I can't tell you that somebody preached the gospel to me. And that seed got in me. I'm so thankful. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do here. Because I want to spread the seed. That's my job, spread the seed. And I pray to God that we get some people who want to get on the right side. Is there anybody here? I want to just know. Is there anybody here? If you're here, would you stand on your feet with me? If you're not, you can stay sitting. But if you're here and you say, I want to be on that team, stand with me. We're going to pray because I want to get you ready. We're going to the finale. Tell somebody. Get the tape. Look it up on the internet. Listen to it again and again and again and tell somebody. You got how many's got a friend? Who's got a friend? I want you to make a commitment that you're going to give this tape. They'll make copies for everybody that wants a tape. It won't cost anything. Or you'll tell them, go online and say, I want you to do this. I want you to listen to this. And if after you listen to this, I'll never bother you again if that's what you want. If you don't want me to talk about Jesus, that's fine. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to take a listen to it, and you tell me. But if you have any interest whatsoever, it's the slightest, if it's the slightest interest, You work with them for the rest of their life because you're getting it. You're getting somewhere. You're getting rid of all that stuff. So is there anybody? Well, look like we got a lot of folks standing here. The seed has to be in your heart so it can germinate and bring forth fruit. So I just want to thank God for the seed being planted in your heart today. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, isn't it amazing how on this Father's Day that you'd bring about this message at the precise time. As we give honor to all of our fathers here today, but most of all, to give honor to the Father of all fathers, the incredible, the almighty, the unmatched. You can't even be matched. Wonderful Father. Your incredible Son who honored you with the greatest honor because he was willing to be obedient to his Father even to the death of the cross. So what did you do, God? On the third day, you raised him from the dead. And now Jesus is at the right hand. It's the highest honor. It's a distinguished honor. He was given the right hand position. And he forever makes intercession for us. He's constantly interceding for us, and we're thankful for that. Lord, I pray right now, those who stood up, that they weren't standing because everybody else stood, but God, they mean it in their hearts. And you know if they mean it in their hearts, if they'll but just confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, daily begin to confess that. Daily begin to live that out. Things are going to begin to change in their life in an amazing way. The old is going to fade out in the new regenerated. The new regenerated person has become such a vibrant, alive, active person. And God, they're going to begin to see things so differently. And I pray, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your only unique begotten Son, that he paid the price in full for us, gave himself as a ransom for us all. He preached the kingdom's coming, in which that kingdom he will be king. He will rule and reign. He will eradicate all evil. And then at the end, he will turn the kingdom over to you, Father. And of that kingdom, there'll be no end. We thank you for that. Lord, you see the people who have stood today. My prayer, God, is that their heart, their life has allowed the seed in it that it will germinate and bring the regeneration in their lives. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that first the blade, and I believe in, I'm going to see the blade. It won't be long. We're going to see the blade. Lord, then we're going to see the stalk, the flower is going to come out, and then the mature grain is going to be ready. And Lord, we know that you said in your word, when it becomes the full grain, the mature grain, you take the sickle to it and harvest it. And we know that, speaking of the end. God, the harvest time's coming. I pray, Lord, that we're mature grains when the harvest comes. Thank you for it, Lord. We honor you, giving you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you, if you would.